Today I'm going to talk about spiritual heritage, and this is kind of a sermon slash testimony. It's kind of my story. So, children's church. Time for children's church. Thank you, Doug. Got a lot of kids in our church. That's a good thing. Praise God. Bless the little children. Okay. So I'm going to start a little bit with my own story. I was raised Catholic. I come from an alcoholic father, a very, very dysfunctional home. At 19, I married a Christian man with a godly mother. And I'm going to be sharing a lot this morning about my mother-in-law, Frances. Just the huge impact that she made on my life is just indescribable. First of all, what is heritage? It's traditions, achievements, beliefs, etc., that are part of the history of a group or a nation. In other words, it's traditions that are passed down onto a younger generation. We're going to go a step further in spiritual heritage. Spiritual heritage is passing down the blessings of knowing Jesus. It's having hope when things look hopeless. It's having peace when your world is turning upside down. It's looking to Jesus when your circumstances would have you look to the world. It's having all the blessings that the Bible says you can have. Faith, believing that what, that's what I believe spiritual heritage is all about. It's having what God promises we can have. How do we pass this down to the next generation around us? It's our personal relationship with Jesus. I did not have a godly spiritual heritage. I was born and raised Catholic, and we went to church every Sunday. But my mom did not know Jesus. When she was 73 years old, Frances, my mother-in-law, was the one that brought her to the Lord. She died at 74. And I once seen my mom's name in Frances's many Bibles. I personally did not know Jesus till I was 40 years old. My three kids knew, were saved and accepted Jesus before that I did. I remember one summer that Leah came home from church camp. She was about 9 years old, and I knew there was a difference in her. I could tell, and she spent a lot of time in her room that summer reading her picture Bible that her grandmother Frances had given her. And I remember when Tommy, my son Tom, was around junior high age, that Frances took him to some kind of a youth meeting. I didn't even know nothing about it. And she came back and she says, "You know, Kay, he went forward at that meeting." And I thought, well, so what? I never said a word to him. Just thought, well, praise the Lord, so what? Larcy came at 9 years old. They all knew Jesus before I did. And I want to talk today about the scripture. This was a scripture that God had given Leah. Oops, wrong way. Oh, got turned on. This is the first time I've done my own. Thanks, Deanna. I got it on now. This is a scripture that Leah had gotten from God about 2 or 3 weeks before Frances died. And it was also in Larcy's Bible underlined. "But the godly shall flourish like palm trees and grow tall as the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted in the Lord's own garden, are under his personal care. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit and be vital and green." But the godly shall flourish like palm trees and grow strong as cedars of Lebanon. See, a cedar of Lebanon is a tree that's very durable, firm, strong. They can grow up to 120 feet tall with a diameter to 6 to 12 feet. And the roots grow deep and many times as deep as their own height. We grow as much as our roots grow deep. Spiritual heritage is to flourish and grow in our faith in God. Colossians 2:7 says, "Let your roots grow down into him and let our lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness." We have to go deep with God to flourish and grow our faith. By going deep, I mean God's word. I'm not talking about a head knowledge. I'm not talking about all the stories that we know. I'm talking about knowing Jesus in your heart, believing what God says is true. It's walking in God's word. It has to go from our head to our heart. And a scripture that Francis often quoted, and I just have to share this with you because I heard it time and time again during times of prayer. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 10:5. We got to read it through, write it down, and pray it in. Work it out and pass it on. I cannot stress enough about reading the Word by the power of the Holy Spirit, getting that Word from God, letting that sink deep into your heart, and praying that Word out. There is power in that, and we as Christians need to start doing that. Number two, for they are transplanted into the Lord's own garden and are under his personal care. Spiritual heritage is having a personal relationship with God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his laws he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. See, to leave a spiritual heritage, we got to be planted by that living water, and that living water is God, and that's the personal relationship. That tree cannot grow without that life-sustaining water. Thank you. And I think of Adam and Eve walking in the garden, how they had that personal relationship with Jesus. They fellowshiped with him every day. We have to have that relationship with him. We have to show that relationship to our children. We have to be praying with them and giving God the glory when glory is due. Often Francis would say, "Thank you, Jesus." She would just say, "Thank you, Lord." That was just a part of who she was. That was her relationship with Jesus. It just carried on in her life. She knew him personally. And it came through prayer. I cannot stress this enough. She had a powerful prayer life. She would get up into the wee hours of the morning and pray. When going through her possessions and her things, we found over 30 prayer journals. And I leafed through several of these journals, and it would have 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. These were the times when she got up and prayed. We had a tradition that we followed, and it started with Leah. Whenever she started coming to the WOW group, which is our Thursday morning young mothers group. If there's any young mothers in here and they're stay-at-home moms, I would highly recommend for you to come to this group. It's a bunch of young mothers getting together and praying and studying God's word and just lifting each other up in prayer. And Leah began going to this group, and she would come to the WOW group on Thursday morning, and then she would go to Grandma's for lunch and spend the day with her. And I would take off on my lunch hour, and I would eat with her as well and spend some time there. And when Larcy moved back, she joined us as well, and this went on for 13 years. And most of the times when I would go in the door on Thursday afternoon for lunch, she would always ask me about my Wednesday night class, WWJD, always ask me about it, because I knew that she was praying about it. Every time that I got up here and spoke and preached, she woke up in the wee hours of the morning and prayed for me, and she was always sitting right over there, and I always knew that she was praying. I just knew that. She had a lot of grace for the dying and the sick. Another tradition we have in our family, it's not a spiritual tradition, but it's something we like to do. Twyla can attest to this. We loved a yard sale, and every year we go to Worthington, Indiana over the holidays and spend the night at my sister's, and we go to all these yard sales. And I was at a yard sale in Worthington, right down Main Street, downtown Worthington, and I looked up and there was Frances. I said, well, what are you doing here? And she explained to me that she just felt an unction to go to Indianapolis. It's where her brother-in-law lived down north. And he was dying of cancer. And while she was there, he passed away. We later learned what a such a comfort that she was. When she was dying herself, her two sister-in-laws came and helped take care of her. And this was the same sister-in-law that she had helped with her husband. And when John's dad had died, she had cared for him as well. And these sister-in-laws just wanted to be there for her. And they just blessed her, and they just blessed the family. See, God blesses those who have been a blessing to others. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. See, the cedar of Lebanon is a tree that is always green in it, and the sap never dries up. So spiritual heritage never stops bearing fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. See, folks, and this is not just for women today. This is for the male as well. This is for the men. We are never to stop bearing fruit. There's nothing said in the Bible about retirement. We may slow down, and there may be seasons for certain ministries, but we were always to bear fruit. Frances taught Bible studies till about a month before she passed away. She visited folks in the nursing home. She took communion to them many times. She always ate at my house on Sunday. That was just a tradition that we had. She would come up and eat with us, and then many times she would head to the nursing home and to give communion to someone. Thursday was the day that she cooked for us, and we came. She also cooked a lot extra. She cooked a whole bunch more. She cooked for Kim and Jim Taylor, and me or Larcia or Leah would drop it off at the Taylor's. Spiritual heritage is vital and green all the days of our life. Even in old age, they still produce fruit and are vital and green. And I want to share with you a little bit about the last days of her life. Most specifically, she had a week, probably about 2 weeks before she passed away. She was pretty good. Monday, Holly and Donnie, that's another granddaughter and her son, came over to visit, and they were there over 3 hours. And she was just pouring into them. She was giving Holly that spiritual heritage. See, Holly's a little bit younger than my girls. My girls had gotten it. She was pouring into Holly. And see, Holly's mom has got a background similar to mine, where she doesn't have much of a spiritual heritage. So this was Holly's time. And then she slowly declined that week, and by Saturday she was bedfast. And I was praying for her that morning. I felt like God just laid it on my heart to get the family together and to have church around her bedside. See, she always wanted her family in church, and she always wanted her family together. So as God would have it, it all worked out pretty well. Everyone was there. I felt like everyone that was supposed to be there was there. We sang songs. We prayed. Kara was there, and you all know what a beautiful voice Kara has. And she sang it as well with my soul, and we sang and told stories. It was a really special, special time, and Leah and Doug, Mike's other brother, could hear her humming. See, she was still vital and green. And her last journal entry mentioned Psalm 84, 1 through 4. I'm going to read it for you. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of my Lord. With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home there, and the swallow builds her nest and raises her young. At a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, how happy are those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. If you haven't caught that, that's about heaven. She went to be with Jesus about 10 days later. I once heard someone say, your funeral reflects your life. We buried her on a Tuesday. That was right after Memorial Day. It was a holiday weekend. The church was almost full. And Elaine, one of my really, really good friends, came up to me at the funeral, and she says, Frances was a big part of your faith, wasn't she? I said, yes. And it was at her funeral that God began writing this message on my heart. When I heard my three kids and my niece Holly talk about their grandmother, God pointed out to me, he says, okay, that's the spiritual heritage. And I just want to close with encouragement. It is never too late to pass on the spiritual heritage. And spiritual heritage, it's not just family. It is not just blood. This is a picture of our family we took about 2 years ago, and we have 11 grandkids. We've got another one now. Little Joel has been born, and seven of these grandchildren know Jesus. I've got four little seeds left. Seven trees and four seeds. And I just want to encourage you. I want to tell you a little story about Sam. He had went to an overnighter. He didn't spend the night, but he was there, and he watched a horror movie. Leah said he came home, and she could just see it all over him. She could see the darkness, the oppression all over him. He wasn't himself. She went to Mom's in prayer the Monday right after that, and this is the scripture she felt like that God gave her. Now, I'm telling you, we need to be using these scriptures. We need to be praying them. We need to be seeking them. We need to be asking God for them. And this was a scripture I want to share with you, and it just fits Sam to a T. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise like with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves led out to pasture. So we began praying this scripture for Sammy. And I began praying for him in my prayer time, and I prayed God would give me an opening with Sammy, that somehow I could help him out somehow, some way. And he's in my Wednesday night class. I thought, well, it'll probably be Wednesday night maybe at WWJD. Well, no, it wasn't then, but it was the very next night. We were in a Mexican restaurant, and Sam's, the darkness came over him. I seen it. He started to reach for Leah, and I knew he was having the dark thoughts. So God gave me the opening, and I said, Sammy, I said, one time whenever I was having a lot of negative thoughts, I seen this scripture. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And I told him about that, and Isaac was sitting there, and that's the next brother that's younger. And when Isaac was a baby, his name means laughter. When I would have my negative thoughts, I would fix my thoughts on Isaac. See, we have to do what the Word says. We don't just hear it. We got to do it. When we start doing it, it gets into our heart. And I said, I would think of Isaac, his smile and his laughter. Sammy, he just kind of looked at me, and he didn't say too much. But later that night, he called me. He said, Grandma, what was that scripture you told me about? Then later on that very same night, he texts Leah. You know, she's right home, but then he texts her. And this is what he texts. Mom, you are so loving, caring, faithful, and always happy. I must be special to be your son. See, I believe Sammy's getting that spiritual heritage. He's getting it. When you know that you're special, you know the love of God, and you know that God loves you, you're getting some spiritual heritage. And I want to tell a little story about a little guy in my class this Wednesday night. Comes from a very, very poor home life. Doesn't always smell very good. And one night I taught on the scripture, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are marvelous. I know that full well. It was a chaotic night. Things were not going well, but I challenged the kids to memorize this verse and to get it in their heart. I said, when you come back, if you can say it to me four times, not just once, but four times, I'll reward you with a candy bar. Well, four kids came back, and they knew it, and one of them was this little guy. And Sammy was another one. But the awesome thing was, about a week later, when I was on the bus, he got on the bus and he said, I still know that scripture. I said, well, okay, say it. And he could say it. So I know that it's going from his head to his heart. And he's going to need that scripture. More than likely, he's going to have a tough road ahead of him. He's got to have God's word in his heart. I'm back to, by the way, this is Bill Myers' painting. I asked him if he had something with something by a tree with water, and this is it. See, I'm trying to be that tree now, and by the living water. We got another tradition we have on Thursdays now. We go to my house, and Megan and Martha Ann join us, and Leah and Larcy and I, and we pray. We have lunch. There's kiddos running around. We go in my son's room, and we shut the doors. But the doors are glass. The kids can still see us, and we can still see them. That's our new tradition, and it's chaotic. A lot of times they're pounding on the door. But you know what? They're seeing the Word of God in action. They're seeing women pray. The spiritual heritage is being carried on. They have to see you. They have to see that relationship. They have to see you praying. You need to be praying with them. You need to have your Bibles open. Your Bibles should be marked up, and their names should be in your Bible as you have prayed for them. Oops. Hold it. I want to go back. Okay. That's just a family picture, and there's Francis in the middle. Francis died, and then this is my final story here. And my sister-in-law Margie's father died like 2 weeks after she passed away. Maybe it was a month, I think. Yeah, it was about a month later. So they had a double whammy. they lost Francis, and then they lost Margie's dad. And Mike and I went to the funeral home, and we went up to pay our respects to Margie. And I said, well, I'm sorry about your dad. And she says, well, I want to tell you something. She says, you've been rubbing off on me. And I'm, oh, boy. And she said, I prayed. I prayed with my dad and sisters. He was on his deathbed. And I don't know how many of you know Margie, but this is huge. This is absolutely huge for her. Her background, like I said, is similar to mine, but probably worse than her heritage is worse than what mine was. So we need to be rubbing off on people. They need to be seeing Jesus in us. And I'd like to end with a prayer plaque. I had done this, I did a breakout session on the spiritual heritage the first part of April, and it was finished it on a Thursday night, and I was to speak on Friday, and I was went to bed that Thursday night and woke up in the wee hours in the morning, and the tears were just streaming down my face, just streaming down my face, and I just had a lot of memories, and God just spoke to my heart, and he said, I loved you so much that I sent you a godly woman. See, he knew this 19-year-old girl that had no spiritual background to speak of needed a woman like Frances. And I know in this day and age there's a lot of negative connotation about mother-in-laws. But let me tell you, ladies, if you get a godly one, treasure her. And just the goodness of God just overwhelmed me, that he would do that for me. He knew that I needed somebody like that in my life on a daily basis pretty well. So just the goodness of God just overwhelmed me. It all comes together with prayer. I've talked about prayer today. Prayer makes it all work. We have got to have a powerful prayer life. And Satan will do everything he can to keep you from praying. And I'll tell you how he works on me. I am kind of a doer. I wake up and I got my day planned out pretty well what I'm going to do. And I want to get all this stuff done. I've got to be less of a Martha and more of a Mary. And I have struggled with that from day one, as I became a Christian, making that time, that quiet time. And I'm not talking about 15, 20 minutes. I'm stretching mine to an hour and a half now. We have got to spend that time with him. The more Jesus you have, the more Jesus that's going to come out. You've got to get that Jesus in you. You've got to get the prayer. You've got to get the word of God. One Wednesday night, little Rory, Kim's little girl, sang Jesus Loves the Little Children. So it felt like God just laid on my heart to have end with Lori, little Rory, coming forward and singing that song. Is she going to do it? Okay, Kim's going to come up here with her. She says she's going to sing three songs, so we'll see. Come on up, Rory. We're going to let Mama. How are you going to do this, Kim?
Okay, I'll be my best.
Let's get that out of the way.
She's on the short side. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll be here, Rory. Okay.
Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
I say Jesus loves the little children. Okay. Ready?
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Run a little black and white, they are precious in the sight. Jesus was the little children of the world.
Yay. Are you done? You're not done? What else are you saying? She says she's not done. Are you done?
Zacchaeus, a little man, was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, for he wanted to see. And as that Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree, said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to house today. I'm going to house today."
Yeah, you did good. Super good.
Little Rory's getting the spiritual heritage. She's getting it. I believe she's got it. So, let's bow our heads for prayer. Oh, no. Forgot. This is National Foster Care Week, and we decided we wanted to honor Kim and Jim Taylor with being foster parents in our church family. So the kids are going to have a little parade, and they're going to come up and bring their money. And we're going to be collecting money all month, so feel free to give at any time. And all the money is going to Kim and Jim Taylor. You got some money put in there, Malachi? Okay, go ahead and bring the kids forward. I just want to speak a word of encouragement to all those older women that are pouring into the younger, Lord. And if they've not seen the fruit yet, just encourage their hearts to keep on keeping on, Lord. Just I pray that they would not lose heart. And as a persistent widow is, they would just keep on pressing in prayer, Lord, that you are an on-time God. So, Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus for the spiritual heritage to be passed on, Lord, whether it be from mother-in-law to daughter-in-law, mother to daughter, father to son, however, Father, that we all have something to pass on, Lord. So, Father, we just pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed. Do you have anything?